Brought to you by Leaving in the Ring, All Boxing, No Filter. Don't forget, we're live every Monday night on YouTube and Blog Talk.
Oh! That's another knockdown!
He's not getting up, Jim!
He's not getting up,
Jim! He's not getting up!
No, he's been knocked out!
It's over! Mamma mia, he's done it! Anthony Joshua defeats Vladimir Klitschko! AJ does it in style!
Beaten down, hopeless, without an answer, and Lomachenko has made Rigondeaux quit!
It's Fisgionados with Evan Rutkowski.
He's a good boy, you know.
Hello, fight fans. It is Tuesday, April 7th, and this is the Fisgionados podcast on the Leave It in the Ring radio network. I'm your host, Evan Rutkowski, former HBO sports marketing executive, giving you my take on what's happening in the sport of boxing on your screen and behind the scenes. Email me at fistionados@yahoo.com. Follow me on Twitter at fistionadospod. We are brought to you by Ring Magazine and ringtv.com. Look, we're not doing a review section this time, guys. Here's what I'm going to do in the review section. I'm just going to give a shout out to a few local businesses who have stayed open. If you're in the LA area, I hope you support them. And then, you know, I'll try to do some special stuff. One of the things I want to call out immediately is Kurt Emhoff and I are going to be doing a joint special episode of our podcast later this week. We're going to be interviewing both an attorney and an accountant. And I know there's a lot of people in the boxing industry who listen to this show. We are going to go through what fighters, what any independent contractors who make their living off this sport should be doing to make use of this stimulus money that's coming in, and hopefully give you guys a detailed set of actions for how you can actually legitimately, you know, we're not trying to do anything that's off, you know, that's not legal here. We're just trying to make sure that everybody legitimately knows exactly what they should do to get paid. Because boxing, as I'm going to go into right now, it's been hit hard by this. And there's lots of really well-paid people in the sport at the high end. Well, maybe not a whole lot, but there's a number of well-paid people in the sport at the high end who don't need to go through this. But then there's just a whole group of people who make their living, you know, don't live extravagant lives, from fighters to everybody associated with the production. And we want to make sure that you guys can do what you can to stay afloat during these tough couple months. So the local business, I'm going to do two to start out with. You know, first, my family, my wife and I have ordered a couple times from here. Mendocino Farms giving a great $40 family special. They got a couple stores all over LA. It is, you know, I know the people that they go to great lengths to prepare the food in a way that's safe. You can get, you know, you get two sandwiches four total between sandwiches and salads and then two sides. It's $40. It's a great deal. It's good food. We've enjoyed it a couple times. And it's great. And you're keeping a great business afloat. And there's a couple other restaurants. I'll go into them next time. Another shout out. My old roommate makes wine up in the Santa Barbara area. He was a former musician who actually was signed to a label. He's actually signed to Rockefeller, actually, for a couple of years. And then now has transitioned. He makes wine. It's called Jalopy Wine Company. Great Rosé called Guns and Rosé, a couple other good reds. Highly recommend it. This is a time when it's great to have a glass of wine at night, or a beer, or a bourbon, or a scotch, whatever you want to do. You're just trying to make it through this crazy period that we're all living through. But wanted to give a shout out to just two places that have, you know, I've ordered from and certainly enjoyed their product. Really good stuff. All right. tell me if you like that kind of that idea for a review section in place of no boxing. But I just, you know, this is a precarious time for small businesses. My wife works with a lot of them in local government here, and I want to make sure that the ones that are staying open get supported, because a lot of these businesses, if they don't stay open now, especially restaurants, you know, they may not open back up. And there's just so many ramifications to that, but that's not what you're here to listen to. So look, for the deep dive, I'm just going to do a closer look at sort of boxing and maybe a little bit of all sports is going to, what they're doing right now, what they're trying to look like coming back and maybe not truly post coronavirus, but post peak of coronavirus and especially how they can get back on the air and what it's going to look like. And you know, I think in the greater context of all this, there's going to be big changes that are coming. Probably a lot of permanent big changes. There's going to be a lot of short-term changes too, but this is going to come into sports in general. This is going to come into broader entertainment industry, whether we like it or not. And first, like, let's just all get a little window into what every sport is thinking right now, which is like, you know, what is the bare minimum to get back on TV? And I've talked about this before, especially for boxing, but the basics are pretty simple. Like we're talking like, you know, crowds are down the line, like no crowds, but we're talking what is the bare minimum? And just let's just look at it for boxing to satisfy state athletic commissions, make sure that the event you put on is safe. It doesn't take away resources from hotspot areas. It follows all the national state directives in terms of people at gatherings. You know, keeps the production as safe as possible. I mean, I don't think it's that important to lay out all the logistics because I've talked about it a little bit, but like really what we're talking about here, a venue like the WWE Performance Venue in Orlando, the UFC Apex Center in Las Vegas, any Indian casino, which apparently Taji Palace is where the UFC is headed for a little bit, but any Indian casino where there is a setup to televise live sports and you can easily come in. It's wired. You can come in, you can kind of turn it into a studio environment and you can sort of safely put on an event where you can fit 100 people in a building, basically. I think that's just like the bare minimum. And I mean, I think when you start to look at what that really means, you're looking at some of the measures they've taken in Germany, South Korea. Like you're basically, your temperature gets taken everywhere you go. You're constantly tested. I mean, obviously we need the testing situation in the country to get, you know, to change to the point where it's a lot easier to take tests and you can find out if you're positive, you know, very quickly, like in that 15-minute range rather than the multi days that it's taking right now. You know, this is the kind of stuff in like Germany, they're talking about once if, you know, and really what we need is an antibody test, which lets people know if you have the antibodies for this, which means you have it and you beat it. And by the way, we don't know if it comes back, if you can get it again, but or what level you can get it again. But if you have the antibodies for it and you've beaten it, then, you know, in Germany, you're allowed to go back to work or they've been, you know, they've been talking about doing that system. I think they're actually doing that now. But this is, other leagues have talked about this, where if you want to buy a ticket to a place and you have the antibodies, you can do it. But this is, it's really weird shit to be talking about, quite frankly. But it's like, that's where we are as a society, and it's necessary. I mean, this disease has changed. It's very scary. Even in the age ranges where you're likely to not have an issue with it, it's just, it's really scary. And we don't know how it's going to look like. Like, we don't know if this is going to be flu season every year, if there's going to be a coronavirus season every year coming out of this. But getting back to the production, it's like, you're just going to strip it down. You're shuttling people in and out of the location. You're taking a lot of precautions and procedures to make sure that this is really safe. All the people working on it have a really low chance of picking up the virus. If someone does get it, you take, you know, immediate steps to make sure that it doesn't spread. And, you know, basically you just don't want to look like the idiots that were in spring break, the TV version of that. And I think, you know, this is going to be hard because people are going to get this no matter what. And you're already seeing, look, like the Today Show and Jimmy Kimmel and all these places, like, they're still going right now. And I'm sure people on their show are going to get the disease. And it's hard to say whether you're going to get the virus because you went to work or not. But we have cashiers going to work. We have people, you know, there's all kind of supply chain people who are going to work. So you don't want to risk stuff. But at the same time, I think if you're in a really controlled environment, you've got all the issues covered. And I think most importantly, and a lot of people have said this, if you're not using resources that would normally go to save lives of people, especially in peak areas, I think you can start doing this. And look, I've said this from as early as this has happened. And I think if you're wondering where boxing stands in this, boxing is actually not, it's not even close to the most aggressive. Like basically what we're starting to realize here is every single sport that's heavily dependent on TV revenue is looking at this as they have to get on the air as soon as possible, even though publicly everyone's kind of letting the UFC lead the charge on that because they're sort of using this as an opportunity to show how how aggressive they can be. And I think responsible aggression is important. They're probably on the borderline of not being totally responsible. But I applaud the aggression. I really do. I mean, I think what they're doing, if you look at what Major League Baseball's plan is, I think that's way more unrealistic than what UFC is talking about doing. You may not like the messenger, or you may not like the way the message is coming out, because MMA media doesn't seem to like that. But I actually think what they're doing is pretty responsible. NFL is basically, they're doing their draft virtually, and they've announced two teams for Hard Knocks. I mean, they're basically acting as if they're not even going to delay the season, that they're just marching forward. I mean, I actually think they're, you know, if you look at Major League Baseball's plan, like, I just have no idea. They're not even talking, if someone tests positive, they're not talking about quarantining the entire team. Because obviously the sport just can't go if that's the case. So, I mean, really what we're talking about here is, when is it appropriate to be showing televised boxing? And this is the deeper question and the tougher one to answer. And I think the really short answer to this might be just let the UFC go first and then take a few weeks of watching them and learning from their mistakes, because they'll likely push the envelope. And if someone makes a mistake and it's them, that's okay. I mean, MLB, they're talking about coming back in spring training really early. Like, I actually think if anyone's going to screw up big, it's going to be them. We're used to boxing being the red light district of sports, and, you know, trying to capitalize on this. And I just think everyone in boxing is being responsible right now. When you look at all the other leagues, NBA included, the owners of the team want it. The players want it. The distribution partners want it. It's the same thing in boxing. We all want this. The fans want it too. You don't want to feel bad about doing it. And I think that's the key thing. Like, even this past weekend, I just didn't want to watch sports because it's kind of weirdly depressing. I'm not at that point where I need the escape yet. I think that's probably how most people feel right now. You can kind of see it in music. It's like, right now it's fine to do a 1-hour TV show where famous musicians kind of play from their home. But that's going to get old in a couple weeks. And I actually think I'm pretty excited to watch the UFC fight, which will be next weekend. We're going to find out how important the crowd is for all this stuff. If anybody here has watched WWE right now, I actually think you can shoot it in a way, especially with close-up shots, where the crowd's really not that important. I do think when you pull back and see a lot of empty seats, yeah, that gets weird. And for ring entrances and stuff like that, it gets weird. But I think people will adjust to that. And I think those are the kind of changes that there's a lot of great producers and directors out there. And I think they'll quickly make those adjustments. You know, it sounds like UFC has, it sounds like Tachi Palace is where they're going to be doing the next three or four events. And they're going to make this work. And we'll see what happens after that. I think, you know, California has canceled all state athletic commission events through May. But I bet other Indian casinos in other areas near Southern California and Nevada, and who knows, maybe in June, you know, the state of Nevada will be up and running. I think it's pretty reasonable and responsible to be going in June. I really do. I mean, the NBA is talking about doing their, essentially their playoffs in the summer in Las Vegas. You know, like that's like a legitimate conversation there. So I do think it's pretty realistic for us to be seeing boxing in June. And I think, quite frankly, by the end of April, we'll start to really want it. And it's not just the hardcores. I think everybody will want to watch it, basically. All right. Sorry for that small time out there, folks. Yeah, we're just going to leave all that in there. All that in there. This is what happens in the age of the coronavirus, where you have an almost four-year-old and an eight-month-old, and you can't leave your house. And your almost four-year-old tries to interrupt your podcast and is not happy with my wife. Anyways, we're going to leave all that in there. Okay. Moral of the story here, I think having an aggressive attitude is going to serve you well. I think trying to wait and see what other people do. Look, Dana White and the UFC has a hyper-aggressive attitude, and it may not serve them well in terms of public relations. And obviously, if there's a major snafu, that's going to look bad. But I promise you that will serve them well in the long run for a couple reasons. And I'll get into that as we keep going through this. I mean, look, when it goes back to boxing, I mean, the order in which fights come and what, you know, what's the first fight airs, like what comes next, all that stuff, it starts to, like, this is what the rest of the sporting world has to deal with here. I mean, if it was up to me in boxing, I would have my first few weeks, like, I'd have fight cards be sort of lower level. I'd be working out any kinks in production. You know, most especially hardcore fans are going to be happy to have fights. Look, the big decisions, and this is what we're going to talk about mostly, are going to come in terms of the bigger events in boxing. And this is every other sport is dealing with this. And I think all of them are going to try to do it in some shape, you know, or form, basically. And you sort of, in boxing, if you look at it, you kind of have to. I mean, once you get back up and running, look, the big events, especially the pay-per-view events or the pay-per-view level events, if it's DAZN, like those are going to face a ton of competition from other sports because there's just going to be a glut. And I'm not saying anything anybody hasn't heard here. There's going to be a glut of events coming. It's going to be everything that was postponed is going to come. And then there's going to be stuff on regular TV. There's going to be other entertainment forms in general. I mean, the movie industry, the live music industry, like anything that's a competing event, they have to monetize their content. They're going to figure it out somehow. They have to. They have to stay alive. The other sports do too. I mean, that's why you're seeing Major League Baseball do this. I mean, the choice is basically don't have a season or figure out some weird thing in Arizona to do it. They're going to try the weird thing in Arizona. I mean, the NBA, they're talking about, you know, it leaks out that, oh, maybe they shouldn't do it. No, they're trying to do it. Trust me, they're trying to figure it out. I mean, I think they have been the most responsible in terms of public relations, in terms of public-facing comments, in terms of what they're going to do. But they also have the best timeline because their season was mostly done, and all they really need to do is come back, make sure their athletes are in shape, and have some kind of weird playoff format you know, I think where the NFL and you know, college sports are really going to have to face the issue. I mean, college students may not be back in the fall, so college sports just may not happen, period. But going back to boxing, I mean, it's like the number one issue here is when can people get back together in stadiums in groups of like larger than 5 or 10,000 people? Like, how close do they have to be to each other? And when you listen to smart people talk about this issue, especially people not in sports, like there's one distinct theme we hear, which is we don't know, but it's not looking good at all. Like, until there is some kind of way to know that you are not going to get the virus, and there's a couple different ways of figuring that out, it, like, any large gatherings are just not going to be safe. And, you know, like, we're clearly at an inflection point basically in American history where, like, life is not going to be the same after this. And even though sports got hit really hard, there's going to be a lot of industries that have a much bigger financial sort of impact on the country and financial sort of disaster than sports. Like, there's just going to be major things to change. I mean, I've said before, I have several families working in medicine. Like, that industry is going through fundamental changes right now because most of the money in the industry was made through elective surgeries. So there's doctors out there now who are taking massive pay cuts, and nurses who are working long hours and like probably not making anything close to what they should be making because these hospitals literally can't make payroll because they've depended on elective surgeries. And instead they're like these sort of metaphoric Marines on the front line of a battle that they had no say in which they wanted to fight or not. You can go through, I mean, like, my wife deals with sort of real estate, especially commercial real estate. I mean, commercial real estate, if the government stimulus doesn't get it right for commercial real estate, we could all be dealing with empty storefronts for a long time. Like, that industry may never rebound. So sports is going to suffer. But I think the question is, it's like, it's really how much do you depend on gate and sponsorship? Because I think, like, sports, when you look at sports as a pure TV product, what you're starting to do is you're starting to, you obviously just look at the television audience. And that's going to be important, but you have to understand too, sponsorship revenue is going to go down. Like, the gate is a, you know, you look at an NFL game or an NBA game. The gate is part of the revenue. There's no question about it. But it's not as important as the TV money. But what comes with the TV money is sponsorship money because you have sponsors. And if the economy has been hit so hard, I mean, sponsorship budgets are going to go down. A lot of them have immediately started pulling money off TV right now. So even if the ratings are better, you still face the issue of can you get the same amount of money to run an ad during live sports? Now, you need the audiences, so the TV networks obviously want to keep this going. But, you know, ticket price, I mean, it may take years to get back up to the level of where they are right now with ticket prices for things. And some of that's the economy. Some of that is the fear of what this virus is going to do to people, especially in a certain age group or with certain medical conditions. You know, but some of that is just that our entire system was operating on a pretty efficient level. And one event like this has just thrown that efficiency out of whack in so many different ways. I mean, there's, you know, obviously in like Major League Baseball, NBA, there's all these like salary cap issues. But, you know, there's the whole ecosystem of businesses wrapped up around some of these bigger sports. I mean, the RSN business, like, when Disney bought Fox, it led to the sequence of events where Sinclair ended up buying all these RSNs for billions of dollars. And they're buying these RSNs depending on 162 baseball games and 82 basketball games and hockey games in some cases. And if they don't have that, these RSNs are basically worthless channels. And so this is this other, you know, this, the local revenue. It's obviously this other huge chunk of revenue for all these teams. So they can't let these RSNs go out of business. I mean, think about what would happen if they did that. It's like, even at a truncated season for some of these sports, it's like, it just, that totally destroys your revenue model. I mean, these types of things, most cities don't have multiple RSNs who could bid if one went out of business. And in a lot of cases, there might not even be another bidder who could even get close to what your RSN is paying you now. You know, it's just, these aren't businesses that you can have a streaming company come in and just sort of swoop up the rights. Like, this is local stuff. So, again, like, how does this affect boxing? Well, boxing is lucky in some ways because it hasn't relied on gate or sponsorship money, you know, for at least for the week in, week out TV fights, you know, probably for decades. I mean, you could spin that however you want. You can say that, you know, it's just boxing's been so reliant on the pay cable TV model, you know, which had no commercials on their network that, you know, they've just, in terms of sponsorship, the system didn't lend itself to it. I mean, if you're really, you know, being a jerk about it, you could say, oh, they're just asleep at the wheel. I mean, I don't think that's really the case. I think the pay cable system, you know, when you're not selling ads, you don't have to, you know, you just want the TV money and you don't care about lending yourselves to sponsorships the way that other sports have. So, but, you know, there's room to grow. Like, if you compare boxing to the PBR has, you know, professional bull riders, they have an incredible sponsorship model. In this time, they're going to get really hurt by that. You know, boxing doesn't. Gate is tough. I mean, at the lowest level and at the highest level, boxing does depend on gate. The club shows that don't have TV money or barely have TV money, like, those shows rely on gate. And who knows what's going to happen with those shows? Like, they were struggling to survive before this. You know, the high-end shows, to an extent, rely on gate. Wilder Fury 2 did almost $17 million at the gate, and that money was likely critical to the promoters, you know, as the pay-per-view numbers were sort of borderline as to whether the show was going to make a profit or not. And while we're on pay-per-view, and you're talking about massive changes, like, $80 for a pay-per-view with this many, with, you know, this high of unemployment numbers, I mean, that might have to be rethought. You know, I think pay-per-view as a product is extremely viable. The price point probably should come down. And I actually think there's a world in which pay-per-view or sort of a la carte pricing becomes more viable than ever. Because one of the things that a lot of people have done during this crisis is they've gone through and just sort of eliminated subscription items that don't apply to what they need right now. It's one thing if you're paying $20 a month for something. It's another thing if you're like, $30 or $40, but it's only a one-time cost, I'll do that. $80 is a lot, though. And this is really what I want to get into, because some of the biggest issues facing boxing promoters right now are what to do with these bigger fights. Now, let's take an event like Fury Wilder 3. I guess that's what we're going to have to call it now. But this could also be applied to, you know, Tank Davis versus Santa Cruz, Lomachenko Lopez. Like, for these events, you're going to depend on a multi-million dollar gate or guarantee close to it to help cover some of the larger purses for the fight. But you're also depending on a big effort coming from the network to promote the fight and hit the minimum number of buys you'll need to cover your costs. But there's so many uncertainties here. I mean, it's really hard to depend on any of that. If crowds are allowed to legally gather, will they come out and will unemployment be under control in a few months? Like, you don't know. Maybe a casino in Vegas is desperate to get traffic back, so they'll give you a nice guarantee to take some pressure off the gate, but maybe they don't. Can you depend on ESPN or Fox to push Fury Wilder 3 like they did Wilder Fury 2? Well, I mean, if the NBA and Major League Baseball can't get up and running, like, ESPN and Fox might be depending on boxing in a way they never anticipated. So they might be thrilled to have a big fight on pay-per-view. They might push it all week long. But if these other leagues get their act together in a responsible way, like, we're never going to have a few days pass without some kind of important sporting event, and they might barely be able to push Fury Wilder 3 at all. Like, can we get to a $17 million gate again? You start thinking, like, does it even make sense to have this event? I mean, you got to consider, a lot of these places are thinking, oh, we can just push it back a few months, and then the full crowd is allowed, and maybe we'll lower ticket prices a little bit, but we'll pack it in. But there might not be crowds for 12 months. And then you start to think, well, maybe we should just do the fight now, because if there's not going to be, like, we can't have these guys sit idle for 12 months. That doesn't make any sense. All these different factors are and sort of points of pain or, you know, whatever, are pushing you from different sides. I mean, if ESPN and Fox can't push it like the last time and the gate's going to be lower or even non-existent, like, the fighter guarantees just have to come down. Like, if they want the fight, I mean, they'll, you know, they'll just have to take smaller guarantees, but maybe larger ownership stakes in the upside if they want this. I mean, the pay-per-view question here is real, because Wilder and Fury might have made enough money that they can hold out for a little bit more. Maybe they can wait a few extra months or maybe even a year. I mean, obviously, if you're top rank, you want Fury back in the ring relatively soon just based on his personality. But then when you look at like Lomachenko and Lopez and Davis and Santa Cruz, they're well paid, but they're not pay-per-view fighters yet. So for them, this is like their first big payday. And they're also at unique points in their career. I mean, Lomachenko and Santa Cruz are vets, and they may not want to wait out the virus's effect on gate, given all the unknowns. That comes back to, it's like, how many fights you got left, especially at this level where it's this kind of purse is guaranteed. You know, Lomachenko probably has a couple of these, but he hasn't had one yet. He hasn't had one of those big fights where it's like he's going to get paid several million dollars, you know, like over four or five. And he's never really, if he beats Lopez and he can go and fight Tank Davis and, you know, maybe fight Mikey Garcia, maybe fight, you know, he could even fight Shakur Stevenson. Like, there's options for him where he could line up a lot of fights and, you know, to end his career where he really gets paid. I mean, he might make more money in his last two or three fights than he made in all, you know, up until now. I mean, Santa Cruz, how many opportunities is he going to have where he makes several million dollars? He's been well paid, but I'll bet he doesn't have that many paydays that are significantly over $2 million. He may not have ever made that, maybe once. I mean, Lopez and Davis, they're young enough that this is their first pay-per-view, but that's different. It's not like they're mid-career where they've had a couple of paydays and they can say to this one, okay, let's pause. No, you want the life-changing money when you haven't had it yet, especially if you got a long career ahead of you. Like, you don't want to be sidelined. Like, you got things to prove. And I mean, just go back to Fox and ESPN. Like, they've been great for boxing, but it comes back to boxing's not the top sport there. There's all these other sports that are going on. And they may have to fit a lot of these events into a compressed window of time. It might not just be a 2020 thing. That might turn into a 2021 thing as well, you know, because entire league calendars have been dramatically changed based off this. And one of the things I talked about above, where the UFC was smart to be aggressive on this and plowing through, you know, I think they've taken a lot of heat. And they, like I said, they do look insensitive. But it's not just that Endeavor needs the money. Oh, Endeavor's having financial issues, so they got to go for that. Most, and to be fair, most of the bigger boxing promotions aren't leveraged with a ton of debt like UFC is. I mean, UFC has to do a certain amount of fights. You know, they have to do a certain amount of business each year just to make their debt payments and everything. But I think like one of the underlooked things here is that UFC, if you're ready to go early, you can make up the missed date. I think they've missed three fights, but they can make up a lot of those dates pretty early. And I think that's smart. I mean, I think first of all, there's this sort of brand extension opportunity that you're the only live sport on and you get good coverage during the day because you're giving ESPN shoulder programming something to talk about. You're giving SportsCenter something to talk about, and those ratings are hurting right now. And I think second and more importantly, you're actually fulfilling your show requirements for the year. And if you get in all these shows now, because ESPN might be dealing with crazy scheduling headaches later, or if the virus comes back and everything shuts down again in the fall, you got to get in as many of these shows as you can now. I mean, boxing and boxing is just going to be further down the list in all these other sports. UFC and boxing can put some stuff on ESPN Plus, so it doesn't hurt them as bad on ESPN. But look, Fox, I mean, if PBC, if Fox needs to fit college football and baseball in the fall, I mean, they could be. PBC might face a situation where they're not going to get all their shows in. It's just really that simple. And not everything can go to ESPN Plus. I mean, my understanding of how these contracts work, you sort of get paid by the event. So you want to meet your obligations in this kind of uncertainty as quickly as possible to get all your TV money. If you don't get up and running quickly, you're at the mercy of the bigger sports. Whatever happens when they finally come up with a strategy, that's you're going to be affected by it. Again, you could be the saving grace for a place like ESPN if the NBA can't go. But if they can go and they're playing 5 or 7-game playoff series, you're not going to get any scheduling favors. And this has major ripple effects for boxing. You know, like I said, maybe your pay-per-view fight is going to be extra important to Fox or ESPN. Maybe they're just not even going to care. For fighters, if you were expecting or depending or contractually obligated to fight a couple times in 2020, that might not be happening this year. Like, when you look at the worst case scenario for all this, is that boxing doesn't get moving fast enough, and the other sports do. Now, I don't think this is a likely outcome, but I think there's a range of outcomes, and this is definitely in the range. I mean, what do you do with some of this stuff? What do you do with Lomachenko, Lopez, or Davis, Santa Cruz? I mean, I think you got to consider, you start to look at the schedule, and it's like, look, I know these fighters, you know, if we're getting back in June, I think August is starting to look as a pretty important month because you might want to get out of the gate and see even, pardon the pun, out of the gate, but you might want to come out quickly and see that even if there's no or very limited gate for a fight like Lomachenko, Lopez, or Davis, Santa Cruz, it might just be smart to test the pay-per-view market in this world, especially before a lot of these other big sports start coming back and thinking, okay, if these guys can enter training camp in June, we can have them fight in late July or August at some point. And that might be before any of these other sports can come back in a meaningful way. I'll take that guarantee despite losing the gate, like the gate's nice, but these aren't fights that would have done Wilder Fury 2 type gates no matter what. And for the fighters, they, like I said, like that's still big money for these guys. Like it's probably worth it to just go get the payday. I'm not sure about Fury Wilder 3, whatever you want to call it. I mean, you're just taking a huge risk no matter what you do with that one. I would still probably say push it through. That one's big enough that it probably breaks through. When you look at the lower level TV fighters, the blue collar fighters, and I've said this, like there's no gate. The blue collar fighters, they might legitimately get pushed out of the sport. You know, the lower level TV fighters, you just, the uncertainty is going to kill you because if you're not in shape now, if you don't take some of, you may not get opportunities early on. And you're probably in an environment where DAZN is no longer paying crazy money to B-sides due to their financial issues. And we'll talk about that later. You're sort of, everyone's at the mercy of these overriding issues. Like, what are the other sports leagues doing? Are Canelo and Triple G going to fight each other? Are Wilder and Fury going to fight each other? If you're next in line to fight one of them, or if you're like Pulev and you're next in line to fight AJ, like, do you just keep waiting through the delay because that's a big enough payday? You know, are you a mandatory for one of these guys? Like, how is this going to work out? Because you don't want to lose. You don't want to go through a short training camp and lose to someone you shouldn't. But you don't want to get paid. And you don't know whether they're going to take so long to make their fight because they want the gate. And I'm talking about Canelo, Triple G, Wilder, Fury. But then you're waiting for them. And that trickle-down effect sucks. I mean, you know, fighters that are making 50K or less per fight, like, there might be less fights over on a card just because, you know, you're dealing with limited people gatherings. And, you know, like, I mean, PBC has done this all the time, but everyone does it. You know, the 10, 12, PBC's had like 17 fights on a card. Like, I don't think that's happening. You're going to face a lot of short notice fights. I mean, fighters that are used to making six figures, either the low end of six figures or the high end of six figures, the TV fighters, like, I think those TV fights can still happen. They're going to face lots of hurdles too. I mean, most of the time, the reason they're making that much money is either because they're a solid draw at the gate or they have a title. Well, obviously now we're in a situation where, like I said, gate, you can't count on. Okay, the belt situation is tricky too, because you need to make weight to defend your title, and your title is probably the reason that you can justify your level of pay. You know, so you need to be staying in shape right now. I mean, I don't think promoters are going to take this opportunity to screw over fighters, but they will probably reset the pay level, and rightly they should. Like, this can't just be the same old world where they were getting a significant portion of their revenue from gate and now they're not. So if you're a fighter, do you hold out to maintain your sort of quote, your quote? That's what they always called it with actors. Like, you know, an actor, if you made 500 grand for a movie, you don't work in another movie, you know, at least like a studio movie. You don't, you might do an independent movie, but you don't do another studio movie unless they pay you your quote. And you can find creative ways around that if you really want to do the movie. But it's kind of the same thing. Like, if you're a fighter and you got to the point where you're making 350 grand for a fight, do you take a fight for 200 grand? Or do you say, no, I worked hard to get up to 350. I want 350. Does it mean you have to take a tougher fight to get there? I mean, probably. Do you want to take a tougher fight with a short training camp? That's where you get into all these crazy issues. No one knows what's going to result from this. And the most likely pathway here, there's going to be less TV dates in 2020 than there were in 2019. There's going to be less network promotion for each of those dates once the sport's up and running. There's going to be a studio setting for at least half the dates. And, I think there's there's a likely scenario where there aren't people in crowds for the rest of 2020, like no gate at all. Everything's in a TV studio. Other sports might start lowering salaries for everybody across the board. We haven't seen that yet, but, we could. I mean, so my advice to fighters and managers is to be in shape. Be ready to make weight as much as possible. Be ready to take fights on short notice. Be opportunistic and flexible. Be ready to take a number in your head that you thought you were worth for a certain fight and, like, lower that number. Most of all, like, take the long view on things and, like, constantly read the market. You're going to be essentially playing poker against the market. Like, if you have a title and are on weight, like, and you might be able to get a fight, maybe even an easy fight, but you might be able to get a fight pretty quickly. If you can get too quickly, I mean, just do it. Like, there are limited TV options right now. If you can get on the air early in June or July, do it. And I don't think this will happen much. If you get offered a career high payday, just take it. It doesn't matter who it's against. maybe if you've saved your money and other fighters are taking tough fights for low money, if that's how the market is going, yeah, maybe try to ride it out. See if change, you know, things change towards the fall or the early winter. But again, we come back to that unknown quantity. And the virus could be coming back in the fall, and you might have to wait it out a lot longer. If you know that you need a fight soon and you need the money, like, just be in shape, make the weight easily, and take less money. Consider driving to a – once you know there's a place where you can train right away and the ban starts to get lifted, consider driving there to get sparring. Like, have a plan in place to get testing quickly so you can legitimately show a promoter that you're clean. If you take this mindset, you're going to thrive in the environment that's coming up. And again, I just want to emphasize, I've said this a couple times, there is a big chance the virus comes back in the fall and things have to shut down again or become very limited. And even the fighters who make big money right now, like, you might be in a tough spot. You might need to take a fight just for your sanity. Like, it's tough to train for 12 months in a row and not take a fight. If there's any chance that you think you're going to need a guaranteed payday over the next 8 or 9 months, I would strongly encourage you to take a fight in June, July, August, September, like in that time frame. And I'm not even sure fights will happen in June. And if they do, it's not going to be high level. So really, it's that July, August, September time frame. You're going to face a lot of uncertainty after that. What does this whole thing mean for consumers? I mean, it probably means you're going to be seeing a lot of low-level fights in June, or maybe a few low-level fights in June. Maybe you'll get one or two fights in July. August is the key month. August could be the NBA Finals. It could be NHL playoffs. It could be none of that. I have major doubts there's going to be big crowds at all. So even the stuff, the PGA Tour stuff, the Kentucky Derby stuff, like, that stuff's either not going to be happening or it's not going to be happening in front of that many people. Is the NFL going to start on time? We'll know in August. So when it comes to a lot of these pay-per-views, a lot of the stuff like that with DAZN, I haven't really talked about DAZN for a specific reason. Next episode, I'm going to talk about what this means for each network. I try to just focus on the sport at large here. But like DAZN, in their situation, they need to make big fights, gate or no gate. Some of the pay-per-views, like I said, like I don't know. It's questionable as to whether you should do these. I think you probably should. Like, I think careers need to move along. And I know it's not just up to the promoters, because, I mean, I think a lot of this is up to the fighters. Like, what kind of guarantee are you willing to take to get back on pay-per-view? And how can we mitigate risk together? Because, you know, you can't just put this all on promoters. No one anticipated this. Everyone's hurting right now. But August is that time period where you can get a full training camp. You're probably not facing any major competition from anything other than NBA playoffs, at least in terms of what profiles as someone who would buy a pay-per-view or subscribe to DAZN or watch a big fight. The bigger sport, you know, the NFL, college football, those strategies are going to be out in the open by that point. The other live entertainment options, their strategies are going to be out in the open. We'll know if there's live, you know, if there's concerts and live music tours by then. I don't think there will be. We'll know if movie theaters are reopening or how that's going to work. I mean, that business faces a lot of questions too. Comedians performing live, that seems to me like it's lower crowd levels, and maybe they can start that back up. But there's going to be a lot of pretty much permanent changes coming out of this. And I think boxing as a sport needs to be creative, because I think the bigger fights, when you think through as to where it, like, you can't just say, oh, we're going to cancel them because we don't have the gates. You may not have the gate for 12 months. So you're telling me, like, we're not going to do title fights or high-level title fights? No, I mean, these guys, there's a lot at stake for them, but there's ways, look, there's pathways to make more money. If some of these other sports can't get their act together and the pay-per-view price comes down, there's ways to still make really good money. You know, more is always going to be tough, but there's ways to rethink this whole thing and make it friendlier. I definitely think for, you know, the TV fights in the studio, that's going to, we're going to see a lot of that. There's pathways. This is a big opportunity. I mean, look, I've talked a lot about Fox and ESPN here. I'll talk more about them next episode. Sort of the surface issues there. But like Showtime and DAZN, Showtime has a very realistic pathway to be the top 2020 network here in terms of boxing programming. And DAZN, you know, I thought DAZN had the best 2019. I mean, DAZN is really going to be up against it. It's this next 12 months, crowds or no crowds, is going to be live or die for DAZN. So I think you'll see a lot of great stuff from them, from both of them. And we'll go through that more next episode. But this was just sort of, I wanted to get out, hey, look, here's what the fighters are going to face. Here's what you're going to see as a consumer. And boxing, again, boxing has been the adult in the room here. But I don't want that to slip away. I don't want boxing to get lazy coming out of this, because there's a huge opportunity here, and there's going to be massive changes. And this is when changes can be made to legacy businesses for either good or bad. And some of them can live or die out of it. And all sports are going to face this issue. I'm hoping boxing is nimble enough that it's going to do real well out of this. How optimistic am I? I don't know. I can tell you this, if boxing stays the same, then there's going to be major changes forced on it. So I hope that they'll get creative, and I think they will. I think most people I've talked to in the sport are prepared for this moment, or have been, you know, have been preparing for it and will have a plan of action. So that's what I'm hoping. I'll talk to you guys probably in 2 weeks. And we'll go through the networks. And then after that, I don't know what I'll do after that. I think a lot of it just depends on the timing of it and if we're really going to start to see live fights in June or not. Maybe I'll sneak in an evergreen episode. And then it's, you know, let's get on to preview the stuff. So, but I'm going to watch the UFC. I'm actually pretty excited for that. I hope they do it safely. they've set themselves up, if they don't, to look really ridiculous. But other than that, look, if you're a fight fan outside of boxing, you want to watch that UFC, I'll talk about that in the review section next time, briefly, I guess. All right. Talk to you in 2 weeks.